According to the Bible, the first trumpet sees hail and fire mingled with blood cast down to earth, leading to the destruction of vegetation and trees. One-third of the world's trees are consumed by fire in this plague, and all the grass is incinerated. For the second trumpet, a colossal burning mountain is hurled into the sea, causing the death of a third of marine life and the destruction of ships. One-third of the sea turns to blood, a third of the vessels sink, and a third of oceanic creatures perish. The third trumpet heralds a great star falling from the sky, poisoning a third of rivers and springs, resulting in many deaths. This star is named Wormwood. With the fourth trumpet, a third of the sun, moon, and stars are struck, darkening a third of the day and night. The fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets are referred to as the three woes. The fifth trumpet releases something terrifying. According to the Bible, a bottomless pit is opened, unleashing demonic locusts that torment those not bearing the seal of God on their foreheads. The sixth trumpet introduces four infernal agents, four angels released to slay a third of humanity with an army of 200 million horsemen, causing immense devastation and death. The seventh and final trumpet announces the arrival of God's kingdom and the judgment of the nations. Revelation 11 verse 19 states, "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hailstorm." After all these supernatural and catastrophic events, one would expect people to fall to their knees and plead for God's mercy. But that is not what transpires. Revelation 9 verses 20 to 21 says, "The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts." How heartless and sinful must one be to refuse repentance even after witnessing a series of divine judgments? This is the harsh reality of the end times. People will fall away and renounce their faith. They will prefer the doctrines of demons over the truth of the gospel. Hearts will harden. Some will start in Christ but later fall away, while others will begin in the world but come to Christ later in life. This is not new. From the very beginning, when Jesus had 12 disciples, they all witnessed miracles, healings, and the mighty acts of God, but Judas fell away. The Bible explicitly says that the devil entered his heart. King Saul was anointed at the start but lost his way, and the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God departed from him, and he was tormented by an evil spirit. He began well, but ended poorly. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1-3, the Apostle Paul warns the Thessalonian believers about the coming rebellion or apostasy that would precede the day of the Lord. Now, I would like to provide four illustrations of how one can fall away and rebel against God. Firstly, there can be a gradual drift. Imagine a ship without an anchor slowly drifting away from its intended course. Apostasy often begins as a gradual drift from prayer, a gradual drift from reading God's word, and a gradual drift from walking with God-fearing friends, opting instead to spend more time with ungodly people. Hebrews 2 verse 1 warns, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." Apostasy can start with neglecting our relationship with God, slipping away from his presence, and prioritizing worldly matters over spiritual ones. For a believer who once eagerly attended church and read their Bible daily, if they are not careful, they can gradually become less engaged. If this continues for too long, they will eventually replace their passion for God with worldly distractions. This can be the beginning of falling away. My second point is the allure of false teachings. A man once traveled to a foreign country as an adventurer, a thrill seeker. The resort he stayed at was a compound, and all tourists were instructed not to leave under any circumstances. However, this man thought, "This is a beautiful country. Everyone I've met is so friendly and welcoming. What's the worst that could happen if I venture out for some sightseeing?" So he did, and found himself exposed to all sorts of dangers, becoming a victim of crime. Just because everyone smiled didn't mean they had good intentions. Similarly, just because someone quotes the Bible or sounds like a Christian doesn't mean they are. In 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 to 4, Paul warns, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Apostasy can take root when believers are enticed by false teachings that cater to their desires rather than God's truth. My third point is the issue of complacency or the erosion of convictions. Imagine a fortress with sturdy walls that gradually crumble under relentless assaults from the elements. Apostasy can occur when a believer's convictions erode over time, often due to peer pressure, societal norms, a desire to fit in, or compromise. Galatians 5 verse 7 warns, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" Apostasy may happen when we compromise our convictions for the sake of worldly acceptance. When you begin to compromise on God's standards and deem certain things acceptable even when God's word says otherwise, this is the beginning of apostasy. My final example is the neglect of spiritual armor. Imagine a fierce battle where a soldier neglects to wear their armor, exposing themselves to enemy attacks. Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 11 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Apostasy can take hold when believers neglect their spiritual armor, leaving themselves vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. A practical example is a Christian who becomes lax in their prayer life and begins to neglect reading the Bible, leaving themselves spiritually exposed and unprepared to withstand the challenges of faith. However, in these last days, I want to encourage you as a believer. There is no need for us, as children of God, to live in fear because Acts 2 verse 17 declares, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Titus 2 verse 13 says, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." We have a blessed hope. Jesus Christ, the return of our Lord, is the blessed hope we have as his children. So, don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged regarding the events of this world. Instead, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us insight that there will be a series of events that will shake the Church of God on earth. The Bible speaks about certain events that will impact the Christian community. Nearly the entire chapter of 2 Thessalonians 2 is dedicated to warning believers about these things to come. While I won't read the entire chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 1 to 12 tells us several things to watch out for concerning the return of Christ. This passage speaks about a great rebellion against God that will happen. Different translations use various terminologies, but the meaning is consistent. In the last days, there will be a great falling away, a great rebellion and apostasy. Briefly, let me read 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." We will see people falling away from Christ. To illustrate, imagine a train called Christianity traveling to a destination called heaven. On this train, you can see the world, the glitz and glamour, the riches. As the train gets closer to its destination, a man appears at every station. This man is the Antichrist, targeting everyone on the train, calling them to step off and enjoy life in peace, to take it easy. He promises that they can get back on it anytime. This represents what happens in the last days. The closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more we will see people who have been on this train called Christianity for many years fall away and rebel. If it's hard to believe, just look at how many pastors start well, but ultimately fall and never recover. This is not to judge, as we all fall, but we need to open our eyes to what Scripture says. There's a great deception occurring right now. I encourage you to remain steadfast in the faith. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family, and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He letteth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He letteth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, This is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life to Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.